It is 9 o'clock. Me and Johnson County Board of Commissioners, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, County Clerk Camino circulated minutes for April 4th, 2023. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
No.
I make a motion we approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the minutes from April 4th, 2023. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, it looks like you have requests for some catering permits first up on our agenda.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one application. It's from Sarah Kendall. Her event is Extreme Bulls PRCA, Johnson County Fairgrounds. She's applied for just a malt beverage permit for the event. She tried to get she approached every licensed vendor to come out and do her event. She couldn't get it, so she's resorted to this. She has paid the fee.
Okay. So we have a request for a malt beverage permit for 5/20 of 23 at the Johnson County Fairgrounds for the Extreme Bulls. Commissioners, what's your pleasure?
I move that we approve it.
I'll second.
I've got a motion and a second to approve the malt beverage permit for Extreme Bulls, the PRCA event. Is there any discussion or public comment? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioners, we do need to formally adopt the county cleanup days. That is an item that will be included in the previous fiscal year's budget that pays for the reimbursement of the Johnson County Solid Waste District for those 2 days of free dumping. Jody, what are the dates?
May 17th through May 20th.
Will they coincide with the soil conservation and RCS's cleanup day too? Or?
No, that's the first Saturday in June.
I think,
household hazardous waste day.
Yep.
What Saturday is that?
It's the first Saturday here. I can tell you real quick. It is June 3rd.
Thank you.
Yep.
So, Commissioners, I need a motion to authorize the county cleanup days so that funds can be expended out of that line item.
Make a motion we approve the county cleanup days on the 17th through the
20th.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the county cleanup days May 17th through the 20th. Is there any discussion?
Can you bring anything to that?
Well, that's a very good question. So, no, they do not take hazardous waste, which are collected on the Conservation District's Hazardous Waste Day, because they bring in special vendors to take the paint and the other items. So this is yard waste, household trash, other things. Again, our hope is that if we give people an opportunity to take it to the landfill for free, that it doesn't end up in the county right-of-ways that then the Road and Bridge Department has to deal with, whether it's an old couch or washers, everything that Scott and his guys have had to deal with over the years, including at one point we had some pretty bad illegal dumping out at the Bull Creek State property in a wetland. So,
Metal can be taken out there anytime. It's free to dump. If they can bring metal also, in the middle of cleanup, bring metal and debris.
Any further discussion on county cleanup days? Hearing none. Commissioners, any further discussion? All those in favor of approving county cleanup days for May 17th through the 20th, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, we would like to welcome up the Powder River Conservation District Supervisor, Lee Bartlett, who is celebrating
17 years, but I'm not a supervisor, I'm the district manager.
District manager, my apologies.
It's anyway, okay.
First off, Anita, on behalf of us, thank you for your years of service for keeping Harold Girard Park from washing away and everything. So,
speaking of that, I have a project down there that I want to discuss with you.
Probably going to be the town.
I know. I'm going to steal.
You've heard my spiel.
Yep. Okay. I have a couple things I'm going to touch on, but one is we've been coordinating with Marilyn Conley for that hazardous mitigation plan for the county and the region. And looking at that, we started looking at possible hazards in KC that we could address. And as many of you know, we are really good at fixing and playing in the stream. So, down at the Harold Girard Park, we started that big bank stabilization project 2016. So this would start where that ended. The city sewer line and the city sewer lagoon sit down there, where we haven't gotten into yet. And the bank is currently stabilized with some Russian olives. But how long that will last, we are unsure. So we're trying to be proactive in this approach and shift that bank back over into the Middle Fork Ranch. There is a section, and we don't know why the engineer's layer is this way. It says KC Land and Livestock, but that is Middle Fork Ranch, which is Wold's. And then we'd shift it back that way, take those Russian olives out, and then secure that bank where the sewer line main comes through, and then, of course, the lagoons and the sewer outfall. That would be devastating if we lost the sewer lagoons into the river. So we want to be proactive. It's not horribly eroded right now, but a couple good floods, and that may not be the case. So we're just kind of looking to see if you guys are okay if we start looking for funding for engineering and construction. It would qualify for FEMA money. It also, because there is a, Barry's going to love my story. There is a tier one fish in the Middle Fork of the Powder, and it's a chub fish. I don't know exactly which one. So we qualify for game and fish and a lot of that wildlife money. So the money's out there to do this. Our goal would be to fund it fully with grants, ideally. More than likely, we would stage on the HJP side, just because it's the easiest to get into, which would where you guys would come into. This is on that west and south side of the arena. So if you've been down there, that bank has moved over the years, but there's enough Russian olives in there right now, it's kind of holding. And I would really like to take the Russian olives out. So I don't need any, I guess, motion or anything. I just want to know if you guys are opposed to it. I would send up a formal agreement as an MOU like we've done in the past.
So, Anita, any discussion with Middle Fork Ranch? I know their ranch manager is really hard to deal with. And
I have spoken to both Toby Pearson and Zach Reichendiefer, and then they took it to Wolves, and they are in favor of fixing that down there because they are the first irrigators below the sewer ponds, so they don't want to have to cope with that if it were to ever happen. And then, of course, the town is more than willing to work with us. So I had hoped to make it to your meeting a while ago, but the weather has not been permitting.
So in theory, then, you would go ahead and remove the Russian olives in the orange area. Is there then probably an effort like we did further up to put the tow wood in.
Yep. And so as you look down in here, within that orange area, the little hash marks are tow wood. So those are on that south side, south and west side of the bank. And then the little orange kind of cross vein looking things are where the cross veins would go. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them. And those are guesstimates. We would make sure that we got the city's engineering plans for the lagoons, the water main, and that outfall to make sure everything matched up when we had official designs. These are just, but yes, it would match what we've currently done through town, through the middle, or through HGP down there.
And for the benefit of our new commissioner, our new clerk, and our new reporter, you want to explain what tow wood is and what that process is, so they can better understand what's going on.
Okay, so tow wood is you cut the bank back and you lay at least 20-foot logs with the root ball in. So the ball sits on the edge of the bank outside of in the river, and then the log goes in and then is buried over. And so that root ball stops the motion of the energy and motion of the river from cutting the bank and pushes it back to the center. Which is what the cross banks do, is they keep the ripple and the current to the center of the channel instead of the outside, so you don't have bank erosions. So yeah, this is one of my new proposed projects. There's still some diversions on the Middle Fork and North Fork that need some repair. So I might do those all under the same grant because they're kind of the same work, but.
So those diversions are not EQIP projects that we did in the past.
These would be different ones.
New erosion from new high water.
New erosions, or our goal is to eventually move all the push-up structures because it allows for better fish passage. And so there is one push-up diversion left on the Middle Fork outside of the Sahara, which we're looking at maybe doing a fish ladder, because to take the Sahara out and put cross veins in would be massive, and so a fish ladder is more ideal there. But there is still one push-up diversion left upstream of Sahara. All the other ones have been removed and replaced with cross vein structures. So yeah, this project, and then I'm not sure if you've heard, but we did get approved to start a community orchard in KC. We're working with the school district with that and the town of KC. So we'll start that this spring. We're in the classroom. The KC Middle School STEM class is, which if you don't know what STEM is, it's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And so everything they do has to relate to one of those topics. And the 6 kids that are in that class decide they want to learn how to be self-reliant. So they're learning how to garden and compost and can and make food. And I think they have someone come in to teach them to tan hides. And so that's kind of where they're focusing. It's a really interesting take on those topics. So far we've made butter and we've learned how to compost and built composters. And then this week we're going to learn how the science behind canning, and we're going to can. So it's been fun going into those classes. We should have our trees coming in pretty soon. And the STEM class is going to help me install the drip system for the community orchard and plant the trees, which is always a help. We are celebrating our 18th year as a Tree City USA in KC this year. We are the smallest Tree City USA town in Wyoming, if not the country, I think. Chugwater used to be, but they didn't celebrate a couple years ago, so we now hold that title. Last year, we finished those EWP projects that you guys helped us get contract. Well, contract. You guys were our silent sponsoring partner, because we don't have taxing authority or a right of eminent domain. With that, because they were so large, we did have to have a full audit done. We were originally contracted with Cloudpeak County. As you know, they dropped a number of towns and districts at the last minute. We did recontract with Carver, Florick, and James. They do the school district's audits, and they have completed our audit and it's been submitted, so we are in compliance there. But we were behind the eight ball for a while, but we are caught up and done there. So if you've gotten, I don't know if the Department of Audit notices you on districts that don't have their audits done, but we are done now. They have been submitted. So that's kind of what's going on with the district budget starting. So we'll start planning for this next year as far as budget-wise. But we're not sure what that's going to look like yet. So we are back up and rolling. I'm healthy again at the moment. So, yeah, that's all I have. So if you have any questions on what we're doing down in the southern end of the county, I'd happily answer them.
Commissioners, questions for you?
I mean, what's the time frame on this project?
Ideally, we would secure engineering and get it engineered this year and then hopefully go to construction next year, just because engineering takes a while. And finding grants. There are grants out there. There's FEMA's grants. The National Association of Conservation Districts offers funding opportunity, grant opportunities for engineering costs. So we are going to see if we can secure one of those. So we're thinking construction won't be until next year, just because it's a process to get all the design stuff. So, but ideally we'd start with designs, hopefully this fall, late summer. So we're a little ways out, but you got to start somewhere. Anything else?
Questions, and then, commissioners, at this point, Ms. Bartlett doesn't need formal action on us. You won't have that until she brings an MOU forward with the project, and they have cost estimates and other things, but is there anyone that has objection to her moving forward with her preliminary work on this project? And, you know, I applaud you and Marilyn working together, and I see Marilyn's joined us in the back on heading off
hazards
before we're dumping raw sewage into the Powder River.
So,
it wouldn't be the first time, but
it would not be the first time. It would be the first time since I've been here, though, so.
Any other questions? Anita, any other updates that you'd like to give while you've got the benefits of the press here, whether it's the paper or the radio stations?
I have one comment that's unrelated to the district work. In my spare time, I run the mobile food pantry distribution for Casey, and I just, on behalf of the community, would like to thank you guys for allowing us to use the Harold Road Park and not charge us the fee every month to distribute that out of that facility. It's a blessing to the community. We distribute 96 boxes of food to families every month, and we never have extras. So we appreciate the community, and I appreciate the use of the building. But that's on district related.
We appreciate your effort. Yeah.
But yeah, it's very easy to run it out of there because they can come in and drive around the building and go out. So it's very convenient. So. But outside of that, no, we just enjoy working with everyone and hope to keep doing good things.
What our community does, what do without you down there?
They muddle through somehow.
Well, I don't know who documents the lives of all the school activities if we didn't have you either. Official photographer.
Yes. And if you have anything going, the KC track meets this week. Mm-hmm. It's guaranteed to be a cold day. I think I've had one nice track day. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Next item on the agenda is appointment of a representative of environmental groups to to the Lake Desmet Advisory Board. We do have one application for this, Mr. Kevin Michelina. So, commissioners, the application is in there along with proof of involvement in outdoor activities and in the environment. So, what is your pleasure?
I make a motion to approve, Kevin.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second to appoint Mr. Kevin Michelina to a term on the Lake Desmet Advisory Board. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Right. Ms. Telkamp had asked for the next agenda item. This involves the TANF, which is the Temporary Assistance to Needy Families Grant Assurance. So, Jody, what do we need here?
So the state made a change this year, and they did not request applications. What they're going to do is just extend last year's application. All the same terms of that the contract remain the same, and the entities that we were supporting or we funded last year could not make any changes to their budget. It's just an extension of that budget, and so they just had to re-present their budget, and they need to re-sign the assurance page so that this program can continue. And the reason they did that is because they thought that by limiting the applications, it would reduce the burden on administrative work and that they could provide continuity of program.
And, Judy, we don't have the contracts in front of us again for the benefit of our new commissioner and our clerk. Can you just give us the overview of what the Boys and Girls Club uses their $20,000 for? The Children's Center,
sure.
$16,000, encompasses $25,000 for a total of $61,000 in TANF pass-through dollars.
Sure. So the Boys and Girls Club use their funding for after-school programming, and they're trying to teach. One of their programs is the Cowboy Ethics. They're trying to mentor these children and better their lives. Children's Center is, there again, program funding. This actually funds the before work, so before 8 a.m. So I think they open at 6:30 a.m. and it funds between 6:30 and 8 a.m. So they can provide that. And then Compass, they just provide emergency assistance or what they call it stabilization to families who are in need and supervised visitation.
So, and Jody, that action item from us today is?
It's just to approve these dollar amounts again so okay. You can assign the assurance page.
All right, and has Mr. Craig had an opportunity to review that insurance page, or we will receive that after we approve?
Oh, it's actually in your signing, so no, I did not forward that to Attorney Craigle because I just thought since it was the same extension, the contract terms are the same, nothing has changed.
I'm happy to look at it when we're done.
Okay.
I vote on it.
And I apologize.
I would assume there's no problems with it, but I'll look at it when we're done. Just take a second.
All right. Any questions, commissioners, about the TANF grant that we do? Is the county allocated? Is it a 1% administrative fee?
5%.
5%. So part of the time that Jody spends administering this grant with the entities we are reimbursed for her time, and that flows back into the general fund.
Move to approve the TANF grant.
I'll second.
Got a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? I guess I would ask for a friendly amendment, if we could, to that, Commissioner Perry, that we approve the TANF assurances contingent upon review of the county attorney's office.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So I think we consider that a friendly amendment. So, commissioners, the motion before us is to approve the TANF amounts of $20,000 to the Boys and Girls Club, $16,000 to the Children's Center, and $25,000 to Compass in the amount of $61,000 with the opportunity for the county attorney's office just to review the assurances document. Any further discussion on that? Any public comment on the TANF grant and those allocations? Public comment. Hearing none. Commissioners, any final discussion?
No.
All those in favor of approving the TANF grant allocations with review from the county attorney's office, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'd like to now welcome up Marilyn Conley, our emergency management coordinator, with the Good Neighbor Agreement between the USDA Forest Service for Bighorn National Forest and Johnson County.
Morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
So the impetus for this Good Neighbors Agreement with Forest Service is our flood planning, flood tracking planning efforts for this year. In the past, we've had Forest Service and BLM folks help with flood mitigation things, filling sandbags and things like that. I don't believe we ever had to have an agreement, but the policy is now that, and it'll be apparently the same with BLM, they've produced what's called a Good Neighbor Agreement for the Forest Service to be able to allow their staff and personnel to assist Johnson County with flood response efforts, whether that be helping to fill sandbags or whatever the need might be that they would be willing to do. And the agreement, I believe you have that, right?
Yes.
And there's no cost. It's a no-cost agreement between the Forest Service and Johnson County. And there's a lot of papers in it, but the thing we wanted to make sure of is it's like any other federal agreement. Grant, it's got a lot of the same verbiage our grants have in it of different things that we're required to have when we sign that agreement, if and when we sign it, saying, yes, we do have these things in place. Some of that being, I can't remember all of them, but one of the big ones was, I think, drug workforce training, different things like that. And Barry, I don't know if you had a chance to review that yet or not, that agreement.
I have.
There's things in it that says that we will make sure we have, as far as trainings, and that we'll agree to follow all the federal statutes and all that. But basically, it's 5 years. It's a 5-year agreement. And if the commissioners choose to sign that, then we'll have the ability to call on the Forest Service folks if we need assistance with flooding. And it can tie into other services if we need it, but flooding assistance was the big one. With Barry's review, I think it'd probably be a good thing for us to have that in reserve, that manpower, man and woman power, or I got to be correct. People power. Power to the people. I don't know. Anyway, so I would like to request that you guys consider signing that agreement today. Is there any questions on this particular item?
So basically, Marilyn, it's basically the same relationship we have for fires. You know, when we call them in to help with fire, same basic concept of everything.
It's a little bit different because on fires, then those folks are getting paid under the fire. This would be just a straight across, I'll help you at no cost, and you won't charge us for anything that comes along. So it's a little bit different, but similar. Because we don't actually have a type 2 team or a type 3 team that is sanctioned and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, probably is. We don't have any yet. We don't have a type 1, 2, or 3 team yet.
No.
They'll surely come up with
what we've worked on for our plan is we're going to try to, the goal is to, if we did have major flooding, it'd be major, to run it as a type 3 incident. And what Homeland Security has been pushing the last couple of years, especially when the funding for the state and everybody went down, is that try to build your own local teams and try to cover costs and people power and all those sort of things as much as you can locally before the emergency management would turn to the Homeland Security office and say, we need help up here. So that's what we're working. We've met and we have those plans in place and ready to go if we should need them. The city is really part of this, a big part. 'Tis if we had Clear Creek, something drastic happened to it, it's going to fall on the, mostly on the city.
Are they involved in this?
Some, yeah.
They bought into it too.
We've had Public Works has been involved. Mostly Public Works. But I need to get on their agenda and kind of explain some more of that to them before. We just don't know how it's going to play out. Mm-hmm. But we want to be as ready as we can be. Anything else on flooding assistance? I will say that I visited with Commissioner Shelley, and he's instrumental in working with the
FFA
and 4-H groups. We're looking at putting like a sandbag filling afternoon together using the youth of the community that have good backs. And that's coming along. I haven't got my email from, is it bad? Yet, but that's probably coming up here in the near future to do that, so we'll have some pre-filled sandbag availability.
Do you have inside storage for those sandbags after you fill them? You know, within a year, all those bags start to rot out, and if you were to get them inside out of the sun, they'd last for 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right now we have them at, in one of the little sheds at Roden Bridge. But if we get this project going, we'll have them on pallets, and we'll be able to just, I think, that it wouldn't, the pallet with filled sandbags wouldn't take up a whole lot more room than what they are just piled in there, do you think?
That shed's pretty full. Cool.
Is it pretty full?
Cool? With your lights and sandbags.
Well, we get rid of the we fill the sandbags that are.
Yeah, there's two pallets.
Two pallets, and if we filled those, then we could replace the pallet. So I wouldn't want to take up any more space.
Yeah. We'll see what we do.
Because you guys have been. Didn't mean to turn my back to you guys. Roden Bridge has been really good to work with and very patient with emergency management on. Because we have things, and where do we put them? And the mind automatically goes to, well, let's use Roden Bridge. And they're pretty filled up. They really are. I don't know about the, I haven't checked with the search and rescue building. I don't know if they, law enforcement still has that one end that they use or not. I don't know, but that would be probably a pretty good place if we got permission. But I haven't talked to anybody about that. So,
it almost seems like maybe we could use a couple of what they call high cube sea containers that have 8-foot doors in them.
Mm-hmm. The,
for storage of things.
That's not a bad idea. I mean, they would be fine there. The city, a number of years ago, when we had that last flash flood, the city filled, I don't know how many hundreds of sandbags, and they kept those outside on pallets covered with tarps, and they're still good. Yeah, I've had to use some of those. Can't remember what was last fall or somehow we needed a few sandbags, and they're still good. So I think even if we had a place just to put them outside and cover them up, make sure they're tarped, that would help too. And then we have sandbags, and Scott got sand ready for KC, so it's ready to go. I was down there last week, met with the town council about flooding and the hazard mitigation planning efforts. So I think we're pretty good there too. And Scott has sand out behind the, is that King Lane, where you drive across the bypass?
The first portion is McKinley Street, then it's King.
Yeah, so if you just go down.
So you get the road to the fairgrounds, it changes to King.
Yep, so it's sitting right back there behind the fire hall with a sign in it that says for the public. And they call emergency management to get their sandbags, and we have this handy dandy little homemade sandbag filling device that people can use for that, but they need to bring their shovel and their gloves.
Dan Rogers at Rocky Mountain, he has a attachment that goes on your skid steer, and you know, for FFA, 4-H, they do community projects always, and so he said he would donate that during that process when these kids are coming to help to speed it up and kind of get ahead of the game a little bit.
And it'd be a volunteer thing, and then they would get some benefits out of serving the community. The thing I always have about, say, like this Forest Service agreement, that agreement protects the Forest Service staff if they get hurt, you know. If we have, and some of our volunteers we have on workers' comp, and when we have something going on, we add them. Some are still on workers' comp just as an ongoing thing, but I don't know how that exactly works. But anyway, we have to think about the liability of folks when they volunteer. They do have waivers they can sign, but my understanding that that's only as good as the paper that it's
right.
Written
or the
on.
Lawyer or the kind of the paper.
Yeah.
So ours is pretty good.
Yours isn't worth it.
So we should be okay. But anyway, that's what I know about that.
So, Mr. Chairman, back to the agreement. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, there is a lot in agreement for them coming to help us fill sandbags or whatever. I don't know what all their duties may or may not be. I mean, there's some stuff in here that's different than some of our other grant awards.
Mm-hmm.
And the grant awards were actually getting cash for a particular purpose, and so there's some sort of trade-off there. I don't know. I mean, I can point out a couple of them. And I actually don't have the final copy. I have a draft that has all the comments on the side.
Yeah.
But just for example, like on page 4, it talks about subawards. Well, there won't be any subawards under this agreement.
Mm-hmm.
The indirect rate, that really doesn't apply because we're not exchanging money or paying for anything. Financial status reporting, because they're not giving us any money, that shouldn't apply. These are all, if you read through the document, and like I said, I haven't looked at the other ones, so it may be completely different.
There's still a lot of things in there that I don't know if it's just a standard. And Mr. Chairman, that's not to say you need to sign it today if Barry would like to have a little more time to look at it. The next meeting, yay or nay, would probably be soon enough.
Craig, what would your preference be?
Yeah, if you don't mind, let me look over the final, because there are a few changes from the final version to the one I looked at. I mean, some of the my concerns are still in this one, I can see.
And, well, I guess my reservation of pushing this to May is that we have winter storm forecasts with the potential rain over the weekend. You want to increase the risk of flooding here, drop some rain on the snowpack that's on the Bighorns, and we could see some serious... So I'd hate that we allow the bureaucracy to slow down response time. So I'm comfortable, but I defer to the other commissioners, because they're the ones that have to make the motion, that if we did approve the Good Neighbor Agreement with the Forest Service, that we made the chairman's signature contingent on review of the county attorney's office on the final agreement.
I can do it today when we're done. I mean, it's just going to take a second. I mean, the one... A couple of the ones I already mentioned aren't in the final draft, and so that's good. But, you know, for example, there's one in here about drug-free workplace. You know, we have that policy in our handbook. I don't know if it's exactly the way they cited here. I'm not particularly worried about it because they're not giving us money. If they were giving us money and then want to come do an audit, that'd be different. But because they're not, we're not exchanging funds or services, really. I mean, usually we do these through an MOU. If we do anything and it just says, we'll help you, you'll help us.
For 12 hours or whatever it might
be. And it's usually they're very straightforward. But just let me, when we're done, look at it. It'll just take a second. And I can compare them.
I guess this discussion is a little reminiscent, because I'm looking at Scott over there, of when there was concerns about anti-discrimination. And Johnson County's policy says that we will not discriminate, and it was a question over why not. Was it even CMAQ dollars, Scott? What it was is we met with YDOT, and we were fine in that there was a huge federal policy. Ours says that Johnson County shall not discriminate, so we were fine in that regard. So, again, I'm fine, but commissioners, I leave that to you if you want to either we can move to table this and consider it at the next meeting. You can move to approve it as is, or you could move to approve it with the stipulation that County Attorney Craig had the opportunity to review it, and then the chairman sign it contingent on his approval of the contract.
Well, I think it's imperative that we get this thing signed, because we may not be able to wait a month before we have an event. So I can, with that comment, I would move to approve 23-GN-11020200-1011. That's it. Approve it.
Yeah, Commissioner Perry, just to clarify, do you want that as is, or do you want the county attorney to?
I want the county attorney's approval.
Okay.
And have the chairman sign it after the approval is given.
There is a motion. Shelley, is there a second to that?
Second.
All right. There's a motion and a second to approve the Good Neighbor Agreement between Johnson County and the U.S. State Forest Service for the Bighorn National Forest, contingent upon review from the county attorney's office. At this point, I would welcome any public comment or discussion on that. Hearing none, commissioners, any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the Good Neighbor Agreement, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Marilyn, I do have one other question for you in regards to our debris management plan.
Mm-hmm.
We had to develop this following the last flooding event. Are you comfortable with where that document is, or is it something that we need to revisit?
I'm comfortable with it, but I doubt if anybody else has looked at it since it was finalized. signed off on about, what was that, 2-3 years ago. We addressed that. I talked with the city and our landfill manager about it this year. That was something that had to be developed and sent to FEMA. Because if we don't have an approved, workable debris management plan in the community, and we need FEMA assistance, they're not going to be real happy to help us. So that's something we could have a meeting with a few people, go over it, mostly be the city. They're the ones that are going to have the biggest debris problem. If whether it's a tornado or flooding or like the winter storm we had, where we had all the tree limbs down and that needed to be managed. So yeah, it'd be a good idea to maybe go over that with everybody. Maybe we could do that at a LEPC meeting, the next one.
I think that is appropriate for the LEPC, yes.
And I will be meeting in Casper the next 3 days with Homeland Security, and it'll be all things flood, resources, debris management, practical training on how to stack sandbags, and it's pretty comprehensive 3 days. So I can visit with them a little bit too, and it's always good to visit with other counties on how they do that. But we have a really comprehensive debris management plan. If people want to look at it,
maybe, and especially for the benefit of Commissioner Shelley, you go ahead and just circulate that around all of the county entities and partners.
Okay.
Commissioners, any questions for Emergency Management Coordinator on her department or any of her activities? All right, then let's move over to the next item that is in her purview, which is a road use agreement for Windy Ridge Tower. We have a new property owner up there, and so Marilyn, I'll defer to you and let you discuss this.
Well, it's been an ongoing effort to get an actual written road use agreement for a number of years. And I'm trying to find the contact information for the new owners so that I can get in contact with them. Because we need to have I have that draft. Barry, do you have that?
I do.
You probably should have that all marked up in red.
I've read it many times.
Yeah. Well, I think it's still fairly accurate. Verbiage-wise, so if the commissioners and Barry thinks it's a workable document, then what I'd like to do is send that to give a copy to the meet with the new owners, give a copy to Powder River Energy and Verizon. Those are our and there's a couple of. Rocky Mountain Communications or Elevation, whatever they call it now, has some equipment on the Precore Tower. So they would be people that were using that as well. And see if we can't actually finally get something signed. Because what's happened in the past, just for history-wise, is that when the county negotiated with the Boers to build the tower up there, they were very community-minded, and they allowed the county to put the tower up there for $1,000 with the understanding that the county would maintain the road, but there was never really any written. There's a tower lease agreement and an easement for to use the road, but as far as who was going to maintain it or whatever and how it would be maintained to what level, that was never in the agreement. But it was always understood that Road and Bridge would just go up there and keep the rocks out and make it passable, not a two-lane highway up through there. Then as years progressed, then we had a new owner. The new owner was not thrilled because the Boers had taken all the tower lease payments up front. And when that land was purchased, then the new owner had to just deal with people going through his property to get to the tower to maintain and do different things. We did meet with him a couple of years ago now, about he wanted a culvert put in and he wanted some excavation work done. And Scott went out and we met with him and seemed like a reasonable request. But and then Precor met with him and nothing's ever been done with that proposed project. So now we have new owner and we need to possibly, it may be a good idea. I think we have about 7 years left on the lease. And I'd like to suggest that it might be a good idea to get with those folks and look at renegotiating the lease agreement. Because that is the best. We did all kinds of studies and tests about coverage, and that is our premium coverage area for our public safety radio system. And if in the agreement right now it says that when the agreement is terminated, then the landowner has the right to have the county take the tower down. And that wouldn't be a good thing for the county because, like I said, that's our backbone site to run all of our public safety radio system on. The county's enclosed interior system. Doesn't run necessarily wildly, but the county system. So, place to start would be meeting with the landowner. If this road use agreement meets the muster of what we need to have it do, then present that to Powder River and Verizon and see where it goes from there. But, and probably the sooner we do that, the better.
Won't we be switching over to WildLink where that becomes?
Well, Commissioner, the law enforcement guy, we met in KC last fall, and the City of Buffalo PD, which manages the dispatch system, and the sheriff were visiting about how they could use WildLink better and more often. So I think those entities are seriously wanting to look about how to better incorporate WildLink. And WildLink's getting better. And with the low-level site out here south of town on the highway department land, it has enhanced our capability within the City of Buffalo to use WildLink. Because what would happen is if they got in a building and tried to use WildLink, they couldn't get out. With this tower here, that's helped that. So as we continue our meetings on upgrading the radio system, then that could be something that happens. Over the years, I've been pretty I wasn't real favorable to just completely do away with the county's radio system and go 100% to Wildlink. Because Wildlink can go down too. I mean, they like to say it never goes down, but it can. And at some point, they've tried for years to try to keep the counties from having to pay to use Wildlink. I think they've gotten funds that have helped keep the communities from paying that bill. But that's always a kind of an ongoing question is if you go 100% to Wildlink down the road, what are your costs going to be? Or will they be more than if Johnson County tries to maintain their own internal system as well as using Wildlink as a redundant process to case one goes down, the other one we can use? That's always a question. But there is, law enforcement is looking a little more serious about how to use Wildlink more.
I don't know. It's one of those things that we're going to pretty soon get into the situation where we're maintaining both Wildlink and our own system. I don't know how much money we should throw at Windy Ridge when we've got a state-run system right here. Right now, the Wildlink is being funded by the state of Wyoming completely. And I don't foresee that changing soon. Do you, Bill?
No, Commissioner Barry, I think with the addition this year, and we can ask Barry to change his hats there, but it moving as a standard budget item out of Department of Transportation's budget, I think you've got that concern wiped away. I think the bigger concern is like down in the town of KC, our deputies as well as Powder River Fire, if they're on their Wildlink radios, it doesn't work. So how do you balance that? I'm sure Scott's got some spots out on county roads where he probably doesn't even have coverage on our system.
Powder River.
And Wildlink's not real whippy on Powder River either. They're talking about down the road building some more towers.
But I'm with you, Commissioner Perry. At what point do you cut from the one system or go all in on your own?
The system that we have now was upgraded probably around, I want to say 2004. That's when the new towers were built, and we increased our coverage inside Johnson County by 90-some%. Then we had to go to narrow banding, which was required by the federal government, and that cut some of our coverage down when we had to narrow band all the radio. We still don't have good coverage Wildlink, or even if you can switch towers, like use the Floyd Tower and the Pumpkin Tower on our local system, that gives you a little more coverage. So right now, I imagine down the road that, I don't know, there'll be a time when it'll be all 100% Wildlink or what you'll want to do. I know the radio system is, we have to have it. We can't respond to fires or.
What is the fees on that? I mean, I'm doing kind of.
Fees on which part, Mr. Shelley? Wildlink or
our tower up on Red Ridge?
Marilyn, what's the cost to the radio users?
So what has happened with the radio users? We have Johnson County Public Safety Radio Committee, and they're the users. And KC went off, and one of the cities went off.
Was school district.
School district went off. So we're down to about 8 users. And between those users, the tower maintenance agreements are split out for each one of those users to pay an eighth, whatever it is. And then they also pay for propane that needs to go to the sites or for repairs that need to go at one of the sites if it's not covered under the maintenance agreement. The maintenance agreement hasn't been renewed since inception. Tower leases, so the towers that we pay a lease on are Floyd and Pumpkin. Pack Saddle, the county owns. So Pack Saddle and Windy, this tower right here in town, and there's a tower on Tisdale. And we both, I haven't seen a bill for the tower on Tisdale, but we're supposed to have a lease agreement for that tower down there. So there's Windy, Pack, Law Enforcement Tower, and Tisdale. Tisdale doesn't have anything on it right now, but I think it's a valuable tower, I believe, for the county to keep. And then, so then there's no fees on, the costs on Windy would be the maintenance agreement, no lease. And the radios that go in there. The radios.
What's the total of that maintenance agreement on all of them?
Seems like it's about $20,000, and they split it up. I know, like, so all of our special districts, the rural health care district pays, seems like it's $500 or $600 a quarter to cover theirs, fire district, law enforcement, PD. I can't remember all of them, but Road and Bridge pays a piece of that, I think.
Yeah, it looks to me like that system is nearly 20 years old, and probably sometime in the next 4 or 5 years, we're probably looking at a major upgrade again.
Well, that's what we're working on right now, is to get the funds gathered up and do the study. To replace, we did do an upgrade a couple of years ago, 2 or 3. And then now we're working on replacing the repeaters that are at those sites because they are at end of life. The company's not supporting them any longer, and our radio maintenance folks have some parts and pieces that they keep on hand, but they're about to run out of those. And I lose a little bit of sleep over this because I think our system is kind of on the razor edge because it is that old. And so right now what we're doing after we met in KC is the law enforcement folks have maps, and they're supposed to be out there documenting where they do not have coverage right now. And then with this new equipment that we're working on, that'll help us determine what we need to try to help fix some of that outside of building another tower, and we don't want to do that. So, yes, you're right, Commissioner.
And it's going to be quite expensive for you to do that.
Well, our estimates, of course, they've gone up again, but it'll probably be $100,000 or more, a little more, to get everything. And I looked at maybe phasing it, where we get one or two repeaters and then get the other ones the next year or whatever. That's not very workable because they don't interface with each other.
That later, but it might be more cost effective for us to put in a repeater or something for the wild leaf than to.
Well, wild, we need to just talk about that. Maybe where you've not got all this
sounds
other
like
stuff scheduled.
Action item for the radio committee.
Radio committee, yep.
When's your next radio committee meeting?
We usually do those during our LEPC meetings.
Okay. So like you have an
that way people don't have to. But if we need to. So I'm waiting to get those maps back, and they need to go to Mark Warner,
okay,
our radio comms guy. And then, because the goal was to try to have this all figured out, and if we had enough money gathered up to be able to replace this system this summer when the weather's good to get up to those towers. That was our goal.
Yep.
So, okay. So on the road use agreement, just go ahead. I'm supposed to go ahead and proceed. Get the agreement sent out to the other folks and get a hold of Mr. Sullivan. Is it Sullivan?
I have those. Yeah.
Maybe have a little get together on that as well. Their pre-course lawyers, back when we were working on this a year ago or better, they were going to have their lawyer draft up things, but they said their lawyer was busy and who knew how long it would take, and Verizon's lawyer didn't want to do that, so it just fell in the cracks.
Precor and Verizon need to step up to the plate, because they're going to be left holding the bag on it if it gets too expensive.
They're yeah, and they have worked with us before.
Yes, they have.
Precor has.
Yes.
And that was before. And they were more than willing to work with us at that time. They wanted to just, whatever it cost, let them know. And if they thought it was unreasonable, then we... Verizon has not participated in any maintenance with the county or Precor to this point. So, and they go up there a lot.
So would you drop Verizon off of it?
I don't know. Not mine.
That would make the city residents real happy that their Verizon phones didn't work.
Oh, it'd make probably the counties too. So that's all I have.
Commissioners, any questions for Marilyn on the path forward on revising the road use agreement for the radio tower? She'll bring back, once this is done, the contract for our final approval. So.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Annually, the Johnson County Commissioners award $500 per semester scholarships to graduating high school seniors, as well as offer one $500 scholarship for each semester for a returning sophomore from the previous recipients. Commissioners, you had a chance to review the Commissioner Scholarship applications, and based off of the tabulation that was done by the Commissioner's Assistant, it looks like the recommendations are as follows. Okay. Jody, did you not give a final rank after you?
I guess I did not.
Okay, well, the Commissioners, we're going to have to make a decision then on the alternate for the Buffalo Scholarship. Looks like there is consensus on everything else. So, Commissioner Perry, you didn't rank an alternate for Buffalo. Do you have a preference to give as an alternate? Commissioner Shelley has selected one student. I've selected another. So, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot like
that's
that.
All right.
Thank you. welcome to initial buy and just hand it over, and we'll hope that your alternate pick matches one of the other two, and that way then in the event that one of our two recipients, the students must attend a Wyoming university or community college to use these funds. These are not actually funds expended from the Johnson County Treasury. They're provided by the, I believe, the Community College District or the University of Wyoming.
Anything. It does or doesn't?
It means there is three different names for the alternate. Commissioners, I guess I would propose that we'll go ahead and award the scholarships and then we can reconsider who's going to be the alternate in the event that one of our recipients doesn't want it. We can go ahead and announce that at our meeting on the
May 2nd.
That way the certificates can be printed so they can go to the awards programs for the kids. So with that, the recipients of the Commissioner Scholarships for Buffalo, Miss Lily Crego and Miss Hannah Quam, the recipient for KC is Sierra Kiltz with Lacey Taylor as the alternate, and the second year student for the Commissioner's Scholarship is Ms. Kaya Perringer. So Commissioners, is there a motion to approve the Commissioner's Scholarships?
A motion to approve the Commissioner's Scholarships.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'd like to welcome up our road and bridge supervisor to discuss CMAQ and TAP. CMAQ is the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program, and TAP is the Transportation Alternatives Program.
Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
I just bring before you a couple amendments to both of those programs, the TAP, the Transportation Alternative Program, Project CD 23410, and then the CMAQ MC 23406. And basically, what the amendment is to the contract, which this contract is between the Wyoming Department of Transportation and Johnson County. The amendment is Amendment A, which is Buy American provision, which requires the use of American steel, iron products, manufactured products, construction materials associated with the projects when specified in accordance with the Infrastructure Investment and Job Act. And they're both in the, they're both the same section of both contracts. So that's just an amendment change to those two previous contracts that we've had with YDOT up to this date. Nothing else changes, just those amendments that we have to Buy America. So,
Scrape, have you had a chance to look at those?
I have.
You have no issue?
I actually sent them to me.
Okay. Sorry, I don't have a copy of them here.
There's actually two copies. Have to be two readers, originals for each document.
Excuse me.
For each project.
Commissioners, any questions for Scott or Barry about signing the Buy Amendment America to the CMAQ or the TAP project?
That wasn't in there before.
it was, but they changed. They had to change the statutory reference because that law, the federal law, has changed. And so that's what it was. It was already in there. They just changed the U.S. code reference.
But we've seen quite a bit of that as we've gone through our process of getting closer to bid our CMAQ. There's been a bunch of things that have had to be modified and so forth to get us up to their current day standard. So, which on our CMAQ, we're really, really close. I'm hoping that we will get that advertised next week to bid. That's a 3-week bid. We're going to be cutting it close, but it's with our Sage Route stuff, it just came out to be a little bit. We were one of the, I know Sheridan County didn't end up getting flagged. We did. So we've got work through that. And that just took a little extra, quite a bit of extra time by time. But hopefully it'll make the process a lot easier next year because we'll have that data already there for submittal and so forth. And this is everybody's first year, so hopefully it'll get smoother and smoother as we go. So.
And I've heard from you, but would you share with the two other commissioners what sage-grouse stips we've been forced to deal with on Thursday night?
And our sage-grouse stips basically is there's a section of road on Schoonover Road that falls within a quarter of a mile of a lek. So activities on that section of road between 6 p.m. at night and 9 a.m. in the morning, we can't do nothing. We can only work between 9 and 6 at night. So it's just something that has to be added into our bid documents as a stipulation. The funny thing about it is our stuff is just not isn't going to bid. Our window of work is the 1st of June to the 30th of June. The stips are from the 1st of March to the 1st of May. So we actually, when our work's going on, we're not even falling in the time period. So, but that's, I mean, that's just,
yeah.
So.
And you shut traffic on those roads too during the
period. Yeah. So, what I found kind of funny about it is, too, is right where that big drill site where they've been fracking that well and stuff on Schoonover, I mean, that's the section right where it is where they're drilling that well now. So and I knew they had some stips last year. They actually, I think they drilled that well, and then they were pushed off, and then I think they couldn't do anything until the 30th of July. So
it's ridiculous what they do. You know, they'll tell the public to go out and
view
watch the things change.
Don't drive a truck by.
Don't drive a truck
by. You know, and we've seen that in gravel pits and stuff. You can actually haul gravel, run a loader all day long, but as far as crushing gravel, you can't. Then continuous noise, I guess, is a.
Yeah.
So.
Great.
So. Okay. So, commissioners, there is a motion. Someone make a motion to approve the Buy America amendments to the CMAQ and the TAP grants.
I'll make a motion to the Buy American for the CMAQ and TAP grant.
Okay, motion is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on Buy America? Hearing none. Commissioners, any additional discussion before we vote? Okay, all those in favor of the amendments to the CMAQ and the TAP contract for Buy America, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Scott, any other updates you'd like to share?
You know, real quick, I'd just say I was down to the Wasers meeting last week. That's the Wyoming County Association of Engineers and Road Supervisors. It was kind of an interesting meeting. It's the first one that I think this is the best membership we've seen. I think there's about 20 counties participating now, which is huge. Some pretty good discussion there. There's one thing that's kind of coming up down in Sweetwater or Lincoln, one of those two counties down there along I-80. In the YDOT's road report, the 511 call, they actually took a couple county roads down there that come off I-80. And as the road closures go on them, then it automatically puts a unnecessary travel on the county roads that are associated with them. I would say that would be a pretty big benefit for Johnson County because some of our biggest trials out there when we're plowing snow is that truck that tried to go around on Coomer Road or the one on Shell Creek or the one on Trading, and the driver honestly pulled up to a snowdrift and stopped. We couldn't get through, and he could not honestly back the truck up. That's what we deal with out there. Or you have the one that's stuck down there, and they get out of their car and their sandals and their shorts that tried to go around the road closure on Pine Creek. But this year was just, it was, I don't know what it was, but boy, we dealt with a lot of that stuff. And they said with what they did down there, it did make a big difference. That when you show those sections of road as unnecessary travel, it keeps a few of those people off. So that was I thought that was kind of interesting, something that kind of moved forwards too, that would be a good tool in our toolbox to help with some of that stuff like that. The other thing that was a big discussion is, of course, counties and CDLs. I mean, that's how we're going to continue to get those people into trade, so and so forth, to get higher employees and so forth. So, but that's about the size of it.
Okay.
We've been out maintaining road and fixing some washouts, and we'll continue. So,
I think, what do you tell me? We had 14 roads that had water over them on the 15th of March and had some form of damage, and I imagine that's just going to continue.
Yes, yes, we're slowly getting caught up on those. The biggest one was on Buffalo Sussex, which took about half the road, which we've got the road top fixed. As it dries out later this summer, we'll have to get back in there and do some slope work and stuff. But most of them, where the water goes off, takes some gravel, and it's just a matter of replacing some aggregate and so forth. Like I said, we've pretty much got most of them done. We're working on Thompson Creek right now. We got about six or eight of them up there to get crossed. Most of the county is getting pretty well melted out now. I was kind of surprised. There's actually a blade working on Wagon Box today. That snow got melted back where everything's going in the ditch. Piney Creek, we've been on Piney Creek a little bit. It's finally getting melted back. So, like I said, I think our biggest threat of this local snow around here, I think, is kind of, we're definitely on the downhill side. That'll be kind of interesting to see what Mother Nature does and how quick we warm up on the mountain. That's going to be, that'll be interesting up there. I was up Hazleton a week ago, so the amount of water that was running along the county road there just to the top of the hill was unbelievable. So it may be one of those springs. So.
Are there any major problems with sliding in that
Wagon Box country? Yeah. Not yet. But that's usually a June thing is when that kind of happens. We usually deal with something up there. We haven't in the last few years, but that's always, that's kind of an ongoing mm-hmm. thing up there. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So.
Commissioner, any questions for Road Bridge Supervisor on those topics or any others? Questions from the public or press? Perfect. Scott, I've got these signed for you. Thanks for staying on top of that.
Yes.
These are both really important programs.
Yes, they are. Thank you.
Commissioners, with your indulgence, I'd actually like to consider the 1% committee request first, and then do the county allocations. And my rationale for that is that you have some money that the committee did not allocate, so that money could flow back in to consider the county requests. So if there is no objection, we'll go ahead and look at the requests that were presented this morning by Travis Lawrence, who's chair of the 1% committee at the City County Breakfast. I also noticed we've got Mr. Gampietro, who's here, who is probably our longest-serving member of that committee. So if you have questions on that, and Jimmy, you're welcome to come up if you want, or share any thoughts you have.
I just want to hear you.
Okay. Very good. So, Commissioners, that second column on your spreadsheet are the county awards. It is $10,000 for the Buffalo Golf Course, $10,000 for JCTA, $5,000 for the Child Development Center, $20,000 for the Buffalo Chamber, $20,000 for the Boys and Girls Club, $1,308.74 for Friends Feeding Friends, $20,000 for the Family Crisis Center, $5,000 for the Bread of Life Food Pantry, $7,500 for Volunteers of America, $20,000 for Compass, $27,500 for Sheridan College, $10,000 for the Animal Shelter, for the spay-neuter, $2,000 for their vaccine program, and $9,486.25 for Hoofprints of the Past, for a total award of $167,794.99. These are the committee's recommendations. You are welcome to amend them, adopt them. We can consider these individually. We can do a consent list. It really is what's your pleasure to approve these requests. And again, you have a member of the committee here if you'd like to ask him questions about why an award amount was either increased, decreased, or not funded at all. But at the end of the day, it is your prerogative of which of these recommendations to fund. So, commissioners, the floor is open.
Jim, on the golf course one, I see that they were asking for, what, $30,000 altogether for their machine? Is that right? So they're basically short about $10,000.
Are you looking at both the city and the counties?
Yeah.
I don't have my sheet. I didn't know I was going to be asking a question. Just getting old is terrible. You can't hear, can't see.
So the request was for $30,000. The recommendation was $20,000.
Commissioner, remember, it's the county ask was 15.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can tell you there were some of us on the committee that wouldn't have given them this much. When you look at some of the needs of the community, and I'm not disparaging the fact that the golf course does bring people in, and it does bring income into the community from that respect. But when you look at some of the other needs that were listed on here, this is where the committee came down. We also take into account that people always ask for more than they need. It's quite common.
Mr. Shelley, is it your intention you'd like to amend that back to the county ask amount that you want to award more? What's your pleasure on that?
I would like to award, you know, the 15 for them.
We also know that some of these groups have lots of money. We started off the discussion with one group, and it was pointed out that they had big reserves. But then everybody has different feelings about what's important to the community. But when we came to the college, which has a trust fund of $41 million, they still wanted to give them a bunch of money. So that was one that I personally just disagreed with. Again, there's not. My wife was on the board for them. I have nothing against the college, the Sheridan College, but the fact of the matter is, I think there are bigger needs in the community, and I think that's how all of us on the committee, the 1% committee, looked at this stuff. And of course, we all had different opinions, and so. Somebody like Sheridan College got a bunch of money, got what they asked for, in spite of the fact that they're sitting on a fund of $41 million. And I know how they figure things. You know, they don't want to spend money someplace where they can't get any money. And they're not the only ones. So that's just by way of a little explanation of how various of us on the committee looked at things. Again, I have no problem with the golf course. I think they do a good job. But compared to some of the other needs in the community, you look at YMCA, YMCA has lots of other sources of income. I'll answer any questions that you guys want to ask.
Yep. Absolutely.
From my point of view.
Yep. Nope. Jim, we appreciate your service on there, and we appreciate your opinion. So, Commissioner Shelley, you're proposing that we amend the award to the Buffalo Golf Course back to the $15,000 of the original ask of the county. Commissioner Perry, what's your thoughts on that?
I disagree with that, and I will not second it.
Okay. I kind of love where that falls on my left and my desk. Commissioner Shelley, when you visited with the golf pro out there, if they're given $20,000, because is this just one piece of equipment?
It's one piece of equipment. The equipment right now, and this is a used piece of equipment they're even looking for right now. But the one they have is band-aided right now just to get by. So they're trying to find something. This is going to keep all the cotton, all the debris, everything off the greens and throughout that. I mean, I don't know how often people drive out there. That parking lot on the weekends is plumb full. It does generate a lot of people through Buffalo, and it is a huge asset to our community in the summer. So that's why I am sticking behind that one.
So
we are known for a great golf course up here.
We certainly are. So if the county increases its award back to the original ask, and the city goes with the addition of their original recommendation, is the golf board going to not be able to purchase this piece of equipment, or will they be able to dip into their other funds and between the money that they are allocated be able to purchase it, so it's not a do or die for them?
I don't believe it's a do or die.
Okay. All right, I guess I'm going to be inclined to side with Commissioner Perry and stick with the award there. Is there any other changes that the board would like to make, or additional questions on the requests that they'd like to propose to Mr. Gampietro? Jim, the only one I have on the spay-neuter program, does the animal shelter, is that a need-based request, or could anyone walk in and say, I want to get my dog or cat spayed or neutered and get the certificate to go to one of the local vets?
They're going to have to pay for it if they just walk in. They spay and neuter on a basis of if the animal is found or
this
relegated to them.
Because in the past they've given out the certificates. But so this truly is spay-neuter on feral animals that are picked up and brought into the shelter, and we're not subsidizing other.
Yeah, I don't know. They may well do that still. They may well still give out certificates. I didn't ask that question.
All right, that was just the only one I had, but I'm going to assume that our contribution would go towards spay-neuter of the stray and feral animals that get picked up in the county. And
they're trying to avoid what Virgie Watt had out at her place, 40 cats in her barn, because everybody drives by and dumps off a cat.
Yeah.
And it could be like that in other places if they're not spayed or neutered.
If you have to get dumped anywhere, I'd love to get dumped at the Watt Ranch. Virgie would feed and water you. So.
I don't know. I'm somewhat inclined to go ahead and support the spay-neuter program at the full ask.
Yeah.
And the vaccine program at the full ask. But I don't think either one of them are a huge issue as far as the $500. But
yeah, I think so.
I know that unwanted pets are a big problem. What do you think, Mr. Gampietro?
He's a dog owner, so he loves pets.
I hear him turned up all the way.
So, commissioners, any further discussion on the committee's recommendations? if there isn't any further discussion on it, then we can proceed with, we can either vote on each one of these individually, if you'd like to vote on them in a block, it really is what's your pleasure.
I would prefer to vote on them in a block.
Okay. Commissioner, what's your thoughts? Okay. So, is there a motion to approve the 1% committee's funding allocations for 2022-2023?
I make a motion we approve the funding committee's recommendations for 2022-23.
There is a motion and a second. Any discussion from the public?
I have one more item I'd like to throw in here.
Absolutely.
When I started this whole thing, and I can't tell you how many years ago it was, I think it was about the same time I started being a 4-H leader, and I think it was close to 20 years ago. And all of the 1% funds and projects, whether they were these non-governmental ones or whether they were governmental ones, came before the board, the committee. And the purpose of that was so that the community would feel as if there was some input other than just from elected officials. And I think we saved more money back in those days because the committee was composed of people that had a lot of different experiences. And so they would make recommendations, suggestions as to where someone could get another bid on their project, and so on. And I think we lost that when we took all of the governmental ones away from the committee and just gave them the NGOs or whatever you want to call them. Just a comment from my perspective. I know that Virgie and I both felt the same about that, and she's now not on the committee anymore. So it's just me and a lot of new people, and that's fine. But just consider that I know we saved more money on governmental projects than we did on non-governmental projects in the old days.
Appreciate your input on that.
That's it.
Jennifer.
Hello. Just for those who don't know, I'm Jennifer Monoski. I'm a president of the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce, and I just wanted to say thank you. I know we didn't get our full ask for the 1%, but as you know, we've been doing a lot of restructuring and revitalizing, and we thank you for your support and the fact that this is another sign of trust from the 1% committee and the city council and you all for our efforts. So, thank you.
Any further discussion? Okay, commissioners, any final thoughts? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the 1% allocation, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. That brings us now over to...
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah. Appreciate it. Brings us now over to the county's requests. And so, commissioners, you've had the opportunity to review the requests for a couple of weeks. There was $1,152,679.50 in requests. The balance of the 1% account is $1,037,274. You've just allocated $167,794.99, bringing an available balance of $869,479.01. You do have a policy decision at this point. You have two more months of 1% collection that will come in. We're going to approve these funds today, but these funds will become available at the start of the new fiscal year. You can work off of the available amount of $869,000. You can forecast, and the average collection is $103,727 in 1% funds. If you would like to assume that you're going to have those collections and add that amount back in to consider your requests, or you can hold that amount out of your considerations and then consider it during the normal budgeting process. It really is a policy decision. We have in the past waited for those 2 months to come in and then address that during the regular budget process. If you do not, and again, Commissioner Shelley, you're new to the board, but that doesn't mean that we are always wedded to our ways. So that's kind of where we are. That's what we know is available in funds. Of course, we'll get to the end of the fiscal year. We'll take a look at any of the funds that are encumbered but maybe no longer have a project and can then revert back to the balance. So there is some additional money that may trickle back in at the end of the fiscal year into that account as well that can be rebudgeted for other projects. So that is where we are. Obviously, we have more requests than we have dollars. So would you like to start from the top? If anyone has specific projects that they have concerns about, I've made some notes on some questions I have. So, Commissioners, initial thoughts.
My initial thought is to withhold that for the normal budgeting process. We don't know how much it is because it's really difficult to say what it's going to be. It's probably going to be nearly the same as it was last year, but the last few months have been below the average, so I'd say let's wait until we know what we're talking about.
I would feel more comfortable to wait and so we know exactly where we're at instead of guess.
Perfect. So our starting off point then is we have $869,479.01. Let's just go ahead, and these projects are in no particular order. I don't know if it's in the order that they came in, but the first one up is the support that we give to the recycling center. This is a request for $60,000. I believe this is the same amount that we funded them last year. Looks like last year we funded them at $70,000. So this is a slight decrease from last year. Commissioners, what's your initial thought on supporting the recycling center?
I think that we need to support them. I think that they do fill a need and there's situations where there's a lot of people that feel very strongly about recycling, even though it's more expensive than taking stuff to the landfill. So I think that there's enough demand for it to offset the expense.
Mr. Shelley, what's your thoughts?
I'm for supporting them.
All right. I also am there, so I think we've got consensus on that amount. We have a request for $9,000 from the Buffalo Trails Board. This is for a portion of a vehicle that they use to maintain the trails that are within the city limits and then also that stretch out into the county. I do not believe we had a 1% request from them last year. I don't see our application. So what's your feelings on the $9,000 request to help fund a pickup replacement for the Buffalo Trails Board.
I think that we're going to have a shortfall there. I'm going to make a recommendation we cut that by $3,000.
Commissioner Shelley, your thoughts?
I'm fine with that idea.
Okay. That. So we've reduced that amount to $6,000. The Jim Gatcher Museum is requesting $44,700 for lighting upgrades and some maintenance issues in their museum portion of the facility.
The maintenance part of that, can you speak to that?
Actually, I'm here for the museum. Okay.
Yeah, Jerry, come on.
I didn't take off her. She didn't answer anything. Yeah. Sylvia had to be at a, she's giving a program in Dayton today, so she asked me to step in for her. So we're hoping that if this project comes in under cost, we can do what we've been allowed to do in the past, and when we need plumbing repairs or an exit sign replaced, we can use any leftover 1% funds to do maintenance to the building, which is old and has lots of things failing.
Maintenance on the exterior of the building is not included in that $47,700.
It's interior.
Yeah. Okay. Great. It looks like it's conversion over to LED lights, which I do agree.
Agree with that.
It's going to save us money in the long run, and it's also going to help protect the collection there.
Can we make a recommendation of more money, but not for the exterior of the building.
Well, and Commissioner Perry, I think the hope is that you're going to see a capital facilities request for the repointing of those bricks in the regular county budget. We did put that, kind of started to save money for that last year, mm-hmm. and I think they were working on some updated estimates on that. So I do think you will see that come in. But Commissioner Shelley, do you have any feelings on lights for...
I think in the big picture of everything, it's a necessity to put in there.
4-H Shooting Sports is asking $60,000 for their shooting sports building.
Cutting that to $40,000.
Mr. Shelley, you have any thoughts on that?
I know Jim Dawson's worked long and hard on this project, and he's still, I was talking to him yesterday about it a little bit. It does serve that need for those kids. But I think there's some other funding that they could probably find to help with that also.
Yeah, Commissioner Shelley, I'm going to build on what you are kind of alluding towards. We gave them the initial funds so they could use that for grant match. They've gone after some grant match. They've now gotten two commissioner's tags that they've been able to raffle off. I guess my feeling would be that we don't fund this at all this year, that we allow them to get through the sale of this year's Game and Fish license. That way they'll have a better feeling on exactly how much money they have towards the project. Hopefully we're going to see some of the building material costs come down, which can hopefully save some money. And the question I have, and I'm not aware of, and maybe Mr. Dawson has shared it with you, I don't know if they have completed an MOU with the city of Buffalo. This is going to be a county-owned building on city-owned property, and unless there's an MOU in place on that, I don't necessarily think that it's probably wise for us to fund that. And I'm going to I think you all know I'm probably a pretty big proponent of the 4-H program. I just don't think that We're quite ready for this construction season, so I really think that this could be funded next year. We've got a pretty big deficit, and cutting $2,000 here and $3,000 there really doesn't help us. So I would recommend that actually we do not fund this project this year, and that we make it a top priority for next year, whether it's through our capital facilities budget or through a 1% allocation.
And I think that we need to include the city in this endeavor, because I'm not much in favor of the county owning more buildings. This building being built on city property, I'm not opposed to giving them money for the project, but I'm probably opposed to owning it.
And the city started the MOU process, but we're still in negotiations. We don't have, it'll be a while, a little while before it's, anything's finalized.
Is there any concern with moving that allocation down to zero?
I think we move it back down to zero until we get that MOU in place and we've got a better site control. And that's coming from a guy that's certified to teach how to perform.
Oh, and I love our shooting program. We got 1 in 3 kids enrolled in it.
Yeah.
We got to make tough budget decisions. So, Commissioner Perry, I'm going to defer to you on the airport and their request for $75,500. This is for their Federal Aviation Administration grant match for a couple of projects.
Yes, it is. We're going to have a couple of very expensive projects out there in the next 2 or 3 years. Redoing the, seal coating the ramp, and then rehabilitating the runway, and we'll only be required to match about 4% of those costs, but that will probably amount to about $200,000+, and my reasoning behind asking them to apply for grant match from the 1% committee is that not this budget session, but probably our next budget session, we will have to come up with $250,000, some such number, for the upgrade to the runway.
Is this due to all the private jets and everybody flying in and out now?
And no, not it would. This stuff done on a yearly basis. That runway was rehabbed approximately 20 years ago, and it's just due again. Private jets don't really have a lot of, you know, they have some impact, but probably not a huge amount of impact. The leveraging our dollars, we get to leverage a lot of money that will come into the community while they rehab these things. So I don't know, it's a situation where those crews will be staying here in town and living for a month or so while they're doing
them. I just know there seems to be a lot more traffic out there than it has been in the last 3 to 5 years. I mean, the last 3 or 5 is way more traffic.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, the traffic is. And we're drawing in a lot of private piston airplanes. Our annual gas sales amounts to around 40,000 gallons a year. And jet sales continue to go up. I know that when Jim McLaughlin was out there, the jet fuel had sat in the tank for months at a time, and now they have to put more fuel in those tanks pretty regularly. They'll sell 3,000 to 5,000 gallons of Jet A every month. And the county gets a
fuel fee of 16 cents a gallon on Jet A, and a minimum of 16 on the Avgas. The Avgas normally runs more in the probably yearly average, about 37, 38 cents a gallon. The Jet A money goes into the county every month. The Avgas actually bills it in an account at the First Northern Bank. At some point, we'll probably leverage some of those dollars to help with upgrades and improvements. The airport at this point is about 75%, I believe, actually 25% of what we put in cash negative. So it costs us about 25% to run the airport itself, what the annual operating costs are. And that continues to go down with the T-hanger rent and the box hanger space rent and all that. We're moving towards being a cash neutral.
Yeah, Mr. Perry, I'm going to commend your work on chipping away at that. When we started at this, we were 75% of that operations were covered by the taxpayers and only 25% by the users, and he's slowly climbing us. And I know Mr. Crago just sent out a bunch of hangar renewals with that escalating lease clause in there, so I do think we're getting in there. And Bob, I commend you for having the foresight to start to save, because the hit to us in 2 years for the match is a lot easier if we've socked away half or more of it.
Kind of like our perpetual road and bridge fund. We wouldn't be able to fix the roads if it wasn't for the fact that we continually put money into a road and bridge or a road fund.
But if you want to propose a change to that amount, you're welcome to. Okay. The coroner has asked for a vehicle and some equipment in the amount of $80,089.50. I do have a question, and I'm going to lean on Commissioner Shelley a little on this, because he's been working with the coroner on facilities lease there. And within this request is for the cooler and the shipping of the cooler, which is $9,949. Is that an expense that we need to have this year, or is it something that, based off of your work to negotiate facility rent for the coroner for the next couple years, that actually could be deferred for this year and looked at down the road?
I think we could defer it for this year.
Okay. So if we... his request is $80,089.50. If we take off $9,949, that drops the coroner's request for allocation to $70,140.50. Is everybody comfortable with that?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. I think that... I know that a large portion of that request is for a vehicle. I think that we could probably purchase a good, dependable used vehicle for quite a lot less than that.
Okay, is there kind of a number you want to throw out there, and he can work at getting his vehicle and then any of the additional items? And also, remember, you've got regular budget coming up, so if there's items on here that don't get funded through 1%, he can still request them through regular general fund in the coroner's budget.
And we will have more 1% money at that point, too. I would like to cut this to $60,000.
Okay.
was thinking 50,000.
Okay.
I'm fine with 50.
Talk me into it.
I like when we horse trade. Okay, so that amount has been dropped to 50,000. Emergency management has requested 60,000 for radio system upgrades. Try to get to that in our packet.
Well, I'm inclined to say that we're putting $60,000 into a system that is basically at the end of life, and possibly the oil leak may be a viable option. But I guess that I would like to put a hold on that until our regular budget session, unless Marilyn's got something in there that she has to have now. This is what have to say.
Commissioners, the reason for the additional request is because of the cost of the equipment. We're trying to do a phase-in thing, so we had 80,000 to work with. You're right, the equipment is at the end of life, and I don't know when they would be able, what that would look like to just terminate our public radio system and go 100% wildlink, and we have to keep our system going until that would happen. And the thing with all this radio equipment is it's just a giant black hole. Mm-hmm. You're not going to make any money off of it. It's just something that you have to have for public safety purposes, and how that shapes up, I don't know, but we don't want to be caught with not having our radio system functioning, thinking that we can rely 100% on WildLink at this time. But I'll appreciate your consideration, and whatever you can spare or whatever you need to do, that's great.
Mr. Shelley, what's your thoughts?
I was just going to chime in, Mr. Chairman, from the legislative perspective, just on the WildLink. I mean, the state has the same discussions every year regarding WildLink and the radio system, and I would not be surprised if at some point the state says, we're not doing WildLink anymore. I mean, it would not surprise me a bit because of those discussions, and so although I'm just throwing this out there, although I understand our system costs money, I'd be really hesitant to mothball that thing.
Yeah.
On the belief that WildLink is the answer, because I'm the funding for that. You know, right now, the amount of funding the state puts into that every year is huge. And at some point, they may say counties, cities, school districts, special districts, you want to use this, you're paying for all of it, we're walking away. And so I, just from a policy standpoint, I think I'd be a little bit nervous watching you do that, knowing what the discussions that happen. I mean, it nearly died this year. It had to come back. It had to be resurrected.
Thanks to the commissioners.
You have the crystal ball on that. So.
Well, I don't have a crystal ball. I mean, my point is, no one does.
Yeah.
But it's a place where we argue and argue every year about whether we're going to keep funding WildLink. And so it just spooks me a little bit. If we have a good system and we can, you know, until we know that there is some, you know, which maybe we'll never know, that WildLink's always going to be there. But I can just tell you, it's controversial to say the least.
Yeah. I think they got a long road ahead of them still. I mean, there's a lot of work they got to do before it's going to be pleasant.
But
leave that money in there then.
I guess, though, my question is, you know, we put 80,000 into it last year. Marilyn, would you be comfortable if we gave you 40,000 for this year? As we try to make...
Commissioners, yes, I would be, because anything that we can do, like in my earlier report, we're working on trying to get it done, and that extra 40,000 would be a big help.
It's a number I was thinking of, so...
Yeah, I think we're still making progress as Maryland works through the summer. Again, we still have regular budgeting if we need to come back in. So next request, Facilities Department has asked for $9,500 to replace the snow plow that's on David's pickup. I think after all the snow they had to push this year, we should be glad that it's only one blade and not two. So I don't
think we just did one.
We did one last year. Yeah.
Or this last two.
So anyone have any objection to the request? $9,500 on this snow plow blade.
No, but I do have a question kind of pertaining to it.
Yep, absolutely.
So do they take the old one then and put it up on like big iron or something so you're getting some money back that's going to come back home? How does that work?
It is. So we will dispose of county property in a couple ways. You can either do the advertised sealed bid. Sometimes the departments use it as part of trade-in with that. Or Road and Bridge every year or every other year does a sale. You've used big iron in the past. We've done it ourselves with sealed bids. And so we kind of put all that stuff together, and the Fair Board will throw in extra stuff they have just so that we have enough to offer that makes it worthwhile for...
So we get a little money back out of that manufacturer.
Yeah.
So if I can bring something to your attention, it looks like the facilities manager gave me last year's request because he talked to me about he's needing to repair the elevator out here. It's not for a snowplow.
Oh.
And so all the supporting documentation he provided is for repairs to the elevator.
Okay, so that is your typo there, that it, you should have elevator there, not...
Yeah, I was going off of his request.
Well,
yeah, it looks like...
I think that that's easier to sell to me than...
Yeah, absolutely. I know...
We can't pump it out of the elevator.
We won't be handicapped.
We'll be ADA compliant.
All right. Fair Board is requesting to replace one tractor and then also get a couple of implements for it. That's $111,500. I can tell you that the usage out there and the fact that they now have two arenas, this is a very much... needed piece of equipment. They, in the past, have leased a tractor, but unfortunately, they weren't able to continue that. So I'm in full support of funding the Fair Board's request.
I'm not. Fair Board didn't look into converting that lease of that tractor that they spent all that money on last year to a purchase. They sent the tractor back, and now they want a full price of the tractor. I think 80% of that lease would have been applied to purchase of a piece of equipment. Along with poor management and poor planning, here we are with a $115,000 bid, or $111,500. My recommendation was to cut that by $25,000. Didn't come up with $25,000. I know that they use the both arenas, and they use
so Commissioner Perry,
that there ought to be any bonuses for poor management.
So you're proposing dropping their request to their allocation, to $86,500?
Yes.
Yep. Well, Commissioner Shelley, what's your thoughts?
So, Bill, tell me a little bit more about, just since you're on it, give me a little more details on, I mean, that thing, I know it's used, those arenas, we got, what, three major robings? Is that about right, Ray? About three major robings. Do we have the Oklahoma people coming doing the...
Are you representing Omoxie?
Yeah.
They are not coming this year. We had them last year. Your actually biggest users of the fairgrounds facility are your Johnson County residents, You have the Cowgirls, Johnson County Cowgirls Rodeo one day during the week, during the summertime. You have the 4-H horse program that uses it. There is a second rodeo each week that is in there. You then have the Thursday night rodeos that is an effort between John Forbes and some others. It might, excuse me, not Thursday, it's Wednesday night rodeo, which is a tourism attraction. Give people live rodeo to drive them there. But really the arena is only a small part of what the biggest use of the facility. You're going to have 2 days of high school rodeo coming up here. Our fairgrounds was successful in getting the Wyoming High School state rodeo here. That lasts, I believe, 5 days. And they're bidding that again. So we think about the use of that tractor just in the rodeo arenas, but then you also have to remember that when we have livestock sales out there, when you have the county fair, the usage is there.
So is that, what are the hours on the tractor averaging a year? Do you guys have that number?
I'm sure Bart could give you the exact numbers. He's the groundskeeper out there. I'm not opposed to cutting this back. I think they can probably dig into the revenue they make off of facility rental to offset that. I know they use this tractor to clean the horse stalls and a lot of other things, so I think whatever amount that you can give them towards that is very appreciated.
And they can buy a, they can purchase a used tractor. They don't have to have brand new.
Yes, certainly so. But I'm not opposed to cutting that back.
So what does that make at 86.5?
Yes. Okay.
I'm good with 86.5.
Consensus there is to award 86.5. Next up, the library has requested 25.5 for materials. That is a split between the KC and the Buffalo Library.
I sat down and talked to Lindsay about this. I sat on that, so I was a little, wondering all of this. And this money is just books. It goes straight down to the state, and it is allocated out to them. Their major book, so I'm for a full on this one.
Yep. Yeah, I have no issue. I think we've got top-notch libraries, and you need materials there that the patrons want to use. So.
I agree.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, good.
I'm not bashful. I usually jump right in. I disagree.
We know Commissioner Perry, that's why we love him. All right. Next up, you have four requests from the Road and Bridge Department, totaling $355,875. Biggest that you need to be aware of, that $100,000 that goes to the road grader. Remember, we allocated $100,000 last year to save for that, plus the change in state law that allows us to use $100,000 out of the county road fund. So this basically gets us over the top. We're pretty close to it.
It's open this fall.
Yep.
It replaces the motor grader that's in KC, which is actually in the shop right now with about 10,000 hours on it. And I'm hoping I'm not putting an engine in it. So
you've got plans of using this money?
Yes. Soon. Yes. I would be looking at a motor grader purchase this fall. Is where I would be at. Just like Bill said, we put $100,000 away last year, then I have $100,000 from the county road fund, and I'll have another $100,000 from the county road fund, and then
about the approximate cost for the new one?
What's that?
Around $350?
No, about $445. They take a, the last one I bought, that the last one I bought was three years ago, was $339,000. And it just, it's
a lot of inflation.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is that trading that in, Scott, or do you?
I will probably, I don't know if I'm going to trade it in. They've given me trade-in values on it, but looking at the results of Big Iron, I would probably go that route.
I agree.
Just for that simple fact, I mean, they're looking at about a 65 to 68,000 looking at the sale on on some of those machines that are similar, you're looking at closer to 75 to 80. So I would definitely be looking at, in our past sales with Big Iron, we've done very, very well.
I'm sure that money goes back into the general fund.
It does.
It does.
Yep. It rolls back into the general fund to fund road and bridge. So
I watch those sales a lot too, and that Big Iron's been knocked on dead.
Yeah. We, like I said, everything that we've sold through Big Iron has been, we've done very, very well. When we're selling used cattle guards for darn near what we bought them for 15 years ago, yeah, we're doing pretty well. Those cattle guard sales and that sale were just unbelievable. And you're getting $2,200 for a cattle guard. That's, the new one's about 37, so, yeah.
Other in here, commissioners, I think is critical. You've got our South Bypass project. That's the match. So that I'm going to advocate strongly to keep that in place.
And I would really advocate that as we get closer to budget, that number hopefully will come down. At the time when we did these applications, we knew that's what it was going to cost, and hopefully that's going to come down.
Annually, the equipment line and then culverts and cattle guard is typical about what we've awarded to Road and Bridge in the past for that. So I don't see any issue to not fully fund the request from Road and Bridge.
I agree.
Moving on, you have six requests from the sheriff's office totaling $190,169. The question, commissioners, is in the past, we have typically only funded one sheriff vehicle through 1%, and we've funded the second vehicle through the regular budget. There was also a time when we only allowed the sheriff's office one vehicle a year. I'm a little worried that because of the supply chain issues that the sheriff's office has dealt with, when they finally do take delivery of the vehicles that we've ordered over the last 2 years, you are running the risk of having between 4 and 6 vehicles of the same year, and what that's going to do to our staggered maintenance. It doesn't solve the problem that the sheriff's office is covering a lot of miles. They're doing a lot of really good work. The price of vehicles are up. Who knows when we're going to get them? So it more is a policy decision if you want to continue to fund two vehicles for the sheriff's office. And if you fund two vehicles, do you fund both of them through 1%, or do you fund one through 1% and one through the general fund?
Because what are we, 4 vehicles behind working on?
It could be six
all together.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are running on some vehicles that are getting pretty questionable. So, you were saying fund here, but I believe in the budget there probably is, there'll be another ask in the sheriff's office there, won't there?
Again, typically we've never funded more than 2 vehicles for the sheriff's office, and we've done that either 1% one through general funds when there was really no general fund dollars available. That pushed a lot of that equipment back over to 1%. When the valuation was low, all of that kind of stuff was funded through 1%, and none of it was general fund dollars. It's a policy question. I'm not disputing the need for vehicles. It's just a question of how do you want to pay for it. If you want to fund them, do we need to go back to one vehicle a year? Where we're going to go.
I don't know how it goes. I think you need to do it now since they're behind that far. I mean, they did put a bunch of law enforcement package dodges together that they're starting to make, which, you know, I didn't realize that we had to order just a specific set up just for law enforcement. So, I mean, that, you know, opens my eyes a little more to that we probably need to step up and just get these now while we can and try to work it back to the one vehicle once we get, but we don't want to be in unsafe, we don't want to have broke down vehicles.
Yeah, the issue that I can see is whether we fund one of them or two of them out of 1% doesn't really make that much difference. It's like taking it out of this pocket or this pocket.
It's
the problem that I see with it is we're going to end up with 6 brand new vehicles this year, and that's going to throw us so far out of whack.
We'll be lucky to get 3 this year if we just for a period, whether we fund it or not.
I'm not so sure that that we don't. We may have to start buying the vehicles off the lot. I know they're more expensive, but
that's about $27,000-$30,000 more to it.
Yeah, I know we do. But you can't run in vehicles that don't run. Our maintenance costs on our vehicles is astronomical now. They're going way over budget on the maintenance.
I think that's going to make for a very interesting discussion at budget time.
Yes,
Sheriff's
office. It is. So, as far as whether we approve the $6,000 right now, or we approve it, half of it now and half of it in our budget session, doesn't make that much difference. I think we're going to about have to make this budget work. We're going to have to cut one of them out.
Well, that's. I was hoping, Commissioner Perry, we could get through the last two requests, run our tape, see what our total is, and make that decision after that if it's screwed with our.
Right now you have $115,904 to spend or allocate.
So, next up is our contribution to operating of JOCO First, KBJ. This is a request for $70,000. It is the same request that we funded them at last year.
What's the city funding KBJ at this year, Scott?
We haven't discussed that yet, so we're waiting. We didn't get a copy of their request, so we're getting that today. So we'll talk about that in our budget sessions upcoming this next month. We don't vote on our budget till the second meeting in May for the first vote, so our process is slightly.
We'll
probably be about the same as last year. I think we might have been 50 or 60. We were not too far off from what you funded them last year. I can't remember.
If we were approved 70 last year.
We did, Commissioner Grandes. It's the exact same request that they made last year.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm fine with it coming out of 1% this way. They are another entity that's gotten a lot better at becoming closer to self-sufficiency as they've started to charge market rate for their commercial property, which I think is critical. It's one of those that you're married to it because it's a joint powers agreement that takes substantial steps to dissolve if you ever wanted to go that route. So I'm fine with going ahead and funding that at that amount. If I'm hearing no objection, the last request, this is Mountain Plains Heritage Park. This is a joint powers board that is the public access area out off of Stockyard Road. We help cover their liability insurance and a few other things. I'm fine with the request for $846. So, commissioners, we are still over. If you go in and approve one of the sheriff's vehicles through 1%, then we look at doing the second through the regular budget process. That would reduce that amount for the first request from 106 down to 53,700, and then it would allow us to shave one quarter off of the 61, because that's the outfitting of four of those vehicles.
Oh, it is four. Sorry.
So you could reduce that amount by $15,353, bringing that allocation to $46,059. So if everybody would just take a quick second, go through and run the totals, we'll look at where we are, and we can discuss our path forward. So it looks like our total allocation right now is $905,667. You have a base amount of $869,479.01. So you either need to go back in and cut $36,187.99, or you can use the uncollected to make that balance.
I would recommend using the uncollected to make the balance, because that will be a number that's easy to make.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right.
But I think that most of that is probably already in the coffers. For uncollected for this last month.
Okay. So, is there a motion to approve the 1% allocations?
I make a motion we approve the 1% allocation of the, what is it, the number? 905.
667.
667.
Got a second.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Commissioners, before we take public comment, I would like permission. We anticipate that the Wyoming Public Lands Initiative will be reintroduced in the House and Senate on as early as Thursday. So I'd like permission for the county to send a letter to our congressional delegation thanking them for reintroducing the Wyoming Public Lands Initiative, which covers the wilderness study areas at Fortification Creek, North Fork, and Fraker Mountain.
You want a motion?
Please.
Yeah, I'll move.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item Clerk, did you have additional business that we need to transact before we take public comment?
I do not.
Jordy, is there additional business that needs to be transacted?
I do not have.
At that point, I would welcome any public comment for the county commissioners.
Good morning, almost afternoon. Jody from the Tourism Board. Just a quick update. We have moved into our new office, which is Jenny and Aaron Worker's old gallery on North Lobin over here by the creek. Kristen is in there. Please stop in, say hello, check it out. Anita Peoples from KOA and I are headed to Boise this weekend for the International Tour Operator. We will give, I think it's up to 45 presentations to international tour groups over the couple days that we will be there representing Johnson County, Buffalo, and all of the fabulous things that we have to offer to international tour groups. So that should be exciting, and hopefully next month sometime I'll have an update on that. We are working with the Wyoming Office of Tourism and Miles Partnership on a destination optimization. So we turned in 178, I believe, businesses in Johnson County, a complete list of everything we could come up with, and they are doing a Google search, TripAdvisor, and Yelp, kind of an audit of all of our businesses and how they fare in those three areas, so that as visitors come to town and somebody Googles something, it has the right location, possibly the right hours, you know, whether they have a website. Pictures are a big thing. We've learned that on your Google site, you need at least 100 pictures for Google to throw you to the top of the listing. So we have been adding photos to the Google sites. But along that, we May 1st at the library on the south entrance, we will have a seminar where Miles Partnership is coming in to work with the businesses that have discrepancies or they have things that need to be worked on. So it's kind of a community project that is being co-opted with the Wyoming Office of Tourism and us to make our destinations look more favorable on our little mini computers and make sure that things are correct on Yelp and TripAdvisor. So those are the three things that I have for the Tourism Board. I don't know if you guys have any questions for that.
Any questions?
Okay. And then on a personal note, I'm trying to bring flowers back to Main Street. And so I am doing a GoFundMe in Lola Pheasant's memory to bring all the hanging baskets of flowers back to Main Street. I have a young gentleman that lives in my building and the Baker building who has agreed that he is going to water them for us. So I'm just asking if any of you are interested in supporting. You can either go to the Flowers for Lola GoFundMe, or you can come see me down at Gigi's, and I'm taking some funds that way too. So. All right.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any additional public comment? Hearing none, commissioners do have a quick executive session on personnel. A couple of announcements before we do that. The County Board of Health will meet at 1 p.m. In this room, and that will be followed by the Criminal Justice Center Joint Powers Board at 1:30, and then the Planning and Zoning Commission meets tonight at 7. So I would entertain a motion to move into executive session pursuant to Wyoming statutes covering personnel.
I've
got a motion. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Wow. Well, it's 5 minutes.